Hey, welcome to Coffee Break. I'm Neil Damgaard. You are at www.neildamgaard.com. This is me with Bob Perrin, my co-conspirator in the great plan to invade people's consciousness with
stuff.
Yeah. On the Coffee Break podcast, we're glad you've joined us today. So, Bob, the subject today is phoniness, which is a thing my father used to try to accuse lots and lots of people with, which bugged me as a teenager to listen to these accusations all the time. This politician is a phony. This entertainer is a phony. This neighbor of ours is a phony. I kind of grew up in the environment of hearing people accused of that, and so I recoiled against that. You hear the word phoniness, what comes to your mind right off the bat?
Well, I was going to ask you to define phoniness, because phoniness can be defined as someone misrepresenting themselves, making themselves appear to be more than what they are, or phoniness can be more of a relationship thing, where I'm being, you know, somebody's being totally phony with another person, and that person being totally either unaware of it, or maybe they are aware of it, but they just recognize it as, this is not, you know, I take this with a grain of salt kind of a,
yeah,
an idea.
I'm sure psychologists would have a much more sophisticated title for this phenomena that we're seeing. Phoniness is sort of a street word, I don't know, that I heard a lot growing up. What is it? And I guess what I'm aiming at in this podcast for us to bat around a little bit is the concept of pretending to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to pull that off in the public forum of marketing, selling yourself, getting acceptance from people, whatever it is. And, you know, there were, in the 60s, there was a backlash in film against phoniness. A great line in the movie The Graduate. You're familiar with where I'm going.
It's been ancient history, watching that film.
Right. But you have heard of it. You do know about Dustin Hoffman. It's probably, his first movie or something. And he's a college graduate in the movie, and he's by the swimming pool, as I remember it at least, a celebration of his college graduate. And the older gentleman comes over to him and sort of says this famous thing, you know, here's the one word you need to know to succeed in your life. And Dustin Hoffman says, what is it? And he says, plastics. You need to get into plastics. You know, and we all latched onto that and said, yeah, that's the problem with our culture today is everybody's so plastic. And, you know, that line about plastics fueled our cynicism even as young people about phoniness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a phony goal to have in life. And a lot of music of the 60s, maybe later too, you know, focuses on phoniness is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we come along as Christians and we agree, we could point to a lot of biblical references about phoniness, couldn't we? Sure, we could.
Okay.
Yeah, you brought up the Bible. Couldn't we? Isn't phoniness a thing that Jesus talks about?
Well, maybe Judas maybe was a phony.
Who was Judas?
Judas.
Yeah, he's the classic phony. Deeper than just being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
There's an evil in his phoniness. Yeah. What is phoniness? Maybe it's a challenging word to even define, but I'm keeping it on the level of pretending to be something that you're not.
Okay.
Christians will do this, I think, in pretended holiness, and it might not be intentional or conscious even all the time, because we have a culture of rule keeping,
mm-hmm.
and we sort of measure each other by how good do you keep the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so we play a certain competitive game on in that area that really probably feeding into phoniness. If I present to you a depiction of my Christian walk, because we're brothers in Christ and we have some affiliation, If I present to you a picture of my walk that's not accurate, isn't that being phony?
If it's accompanied by a judgment or something like that, I would say yes. One of the questions you have down here, are we all a little phony? And I think yes, I think we all are phony. I think we all suffer from that. Sometimes it's part of the human condition.
To present our best side.
Of course. Yeah, I think we're phony.
I would agree.
To ourselves even sometimes.
Yeah, sure. I want to believe that I'm better than being crappy.
Yeah. But if you accept that, and you accept that in yourself, and you accept that in other people, as long, you mentioned Christians, and you know, sometimes Christians are my favorite people to beat up, even though I count myself among them. It's when it's accompanied by, you know, someone presents themselves as this godly, mature believer, and then they judge you for something you're not doing according to their standard. That's bad. That's really bad. It not only is it arrogant, it turns people off to the faith.
It's a bad advertisement for being a faith person.
Right. And I think probably the best thing a Christian can say or present to someone is rightfully, I am a sinner saved by grace. I am capable, and I learned this the hard way years and years and years ago. I learned that I was capable of any sin.
Yeah.
And not just doing it once and learning my lesson. I could do it again.
I think that's a healthy awareness to believe, awareness to maintain. Yeah.
But yet still, I mean, I'm not going to make any kind of weird confessions here, but I did something that falls pretty low on the sin scale, not just once but twice in my early years. And I recognize that I can do it, so therefore anybody can do, you know, those kinds of sins. But sometimes I forget that. Mm. And I'll look down my nose at somebody and say, yeah, wow, what's wrong with that person? Well, you know what's wrong with them? They're a sinner just like you were and are, you know?
Yeah.
And if we can keep that in our minds, even when we're saying, even when we're offering correction to that person, you're always going to make it human and say, hey, I'm just like you, but for the grace of God, that you know, I'm not participating in that particular sin right now. But, you know, that's not phony. That's being helpful. And that's being a true friend. But to present yourself as, and then judge people, that's horrible. I think that's a...
Humility.
If it's not the worst sin, it should be.
Humility is the inverse, I would say, of phoniness. In the area that we're talking about, anyway. Mm-hmm. Phoniness, I think, can show up in a lot of different ways. But in this area of how we present ourselves in our Christian walk, humility is the inverse of it. I just made that up. I don't even know if that mathematically makes sense, but it's sort of the not the opposite, but it's the counterpart to phoniness. Phoniness doesn't want to be humble. Phoniness wants a better presentation than is true. But humility does what you're saying. It says, I'm a sinner. I'm capable of pretty much any sin in the book. The day I stop thinking I'm capable of certain sins is the day I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
I think the scripture actually says that.
Right, and I know some people who are believers who think, oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. And I think that's such a dangerous place to be. When you start thinking you're immune from certain sins.
Yeah, but if you play, I agree. I actually technically agree with you. But if you play with, like, for instance, the sin of David, not the one, not the first with Bathsheba, because many of us could relate to that. It's the amplification of the sin with Bathsheba, where he arranges for the death of Bathsheba's husband, mm-hmm. Uriah. Now, that's a pretty heinous sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be easier to look at yourself as, well, I could do the first, but I could never do the second.
Mm-hmm.
I could never become that dark to actually arrange for the death of somebody because I have the power and can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful with saying there's no sin I couldn't do. Well, yeah, technically, but boy, I can think of some that are pretty bad.
That are pretty bad. But, you know, I read a book years ago by Leon Uris. I can't remember the name of it now. But it was about the Russians coming into Berlin at the end of the war.
Mm.
And this young lady, in order to feed her family, she hooked up with a Russian officer and basically became his...
consort.
Consort.
Yeah.
And in order to provide for her family. And... The reality of that kind of struck me, and it stayed with me, that there are situations that can happen, that can occur, where you can actually, I mean, you can't fault this woman for doing that.
Collaboration was a very, a tremendously controversial thing near the end of the war, not just with collaborating with Russian soldiers, but collaborating with the German army.
Yeah. Well, was that collaborating, or is that?
Well, they were called, for instance, in Belgium or in France, as the Allies advanced and liberated town after town, then the townspeople would out certain women, would shave their heads, would mark them as having been collaborators. They were called collaborators because they did exactly what you're saying. And it's easy to pass judgment on that when you're on the victorious side with the troops and the tanks all around you protecting you. But when you're in danger, I don't know how many of us would have the courage to stand up to the SS officer and say, take a hike, pal, go ahead and pull the trigger on my kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many of us have that kind of courage in the situation. So, yeah, it was controversial. It was difficult.
Yeah, while you're talking here, you remind me of one of the things that, you know, I'm against abortion. I think it's wrong in pretty much every case. And yet, I think I understand I'm sure there are people out there that you know get an abortion just, you know, oh, I'm pregnant, no, but just, you know, but there are frightened people are frightened people who are pregnant. They don't know what, you know, and the whole process they have to go through to I think it's murder. I think it's all that.
But they're pressed in desperation to end the fear in their lives.
And the last thing they need is a bunch of Christians
being judgmental.
Being judgmental.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons we're big on, you know, yesterday in church we began the baby bottle campaign. We do it every year. Mm-hmm. We offer baby bottles to people who want to put the spare change in, and for a ministry called... It used to be called A Woman's Concern, and now it's called Learn Your Options. They've changed the name of it, but it's exactly the same ministry, and they very much major on compassion, and let's help this young woman who's in a crisis situation keep her baby. Let's do everything we can to help her see this through and survive it. And without terminating the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I have huge respect for ministries like that, that really put themselves on the line to not be judgmental, to in fact attract new people that really don't want to abort the child.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, it's just against their wiring, but they feel desperate and they feel like they don't have any options.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's a great example of how we can be easily critical and judgmental on stuff. Yes, right. Shouldn't we? Maybe we should just go the full distance on this and just give everybody a break. Let's just cut everybody slack and never call anybody phony. How about that? Because then we'll be gentle and good-spirited people.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that either. Let's face it, anybody can throw out that accusation and probably defend it, even when it's not deserved for that particular...
Just us talking about phoniness might expose us to criticism, but somebody who hears this and says, well, yeah, but I saw Bob Perrin, I saw Neil Damgaard over here, and he was doing this. Who's he to be talking about phoniness, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just easier not to talk about it.
I'm an expert at it.
at talking about it or not talking
at
about it?
At being a phony.
Oh, okay. All right. You get the the award.
Well, because we're all phonies.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, and it's an interesting subject to me because, you know, sometimes our music, our Christian music, you and I came through maybe we're still in the times of the hippie Christian church mentality, you know, and we had songs like Come As You Are, you know, just don't feel like you have to pretend you're something that you're not. Just come in your bare feet and frayed bell bottoms,
sure,
and tie-dye shirts and stinky don't believe in deodorant condition, you know, and just come as you are, mm-hmm, because we accept everybody and everything. And okay, there's an appeal there. I get that. We're trying to downplay phoniness.
Yeah. But
we
can come as we are, but we don't want to stay as we are. I mean, the whole idea of growing in faith is growing in all that other, growing in maturity, growing in, you know.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, yeah, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, okay, self-control.
And throw in a bar of soap and some deodorant somewhere along the line in there.
Fruits of the Spirit, though. Soap. So the other extreme of, look, none of us is perfect. None of us is completely authentic. Is authenticity the opposite of phoniness? Is that what we want to be, is authentic?
Well, again, we'd have to define that word. Do we want to be real?
Yeah.
That's
the good word today.
Do you want to hear my real thoughts on everything?
No.
Okay.
That's why we do this podcast.
I don't want to hear yours either.
Right.
Right. I don't even want to hear yours about me.
Unrestrained honesty can be brutal and unkind.
Yeah.
You know, my wife will often say, she's a teacher, and she will speak about teaching experiences in the classroom. And you've been a teacher. You can relate to this, perhaps. You know, you don't tell the student everything you're thinking about, where they're at, what their potential trajectory is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They can't handle it. Even right. Jesus said that, I've got a lot more to tell you, but you can't handle it right now.
That's right.
I love that verse.
Ah, so he was a phony. No.
No, he just was using restraint and discretion.
Right.
And so I'd like someone to not tell me. I had somebody tell me last night, very carefully, a young person, that I can be, what was the feeling they were trying to communicate? Reactionary, I think, was the 60s word. I can be reactionary. I can flash against people a little harshly sometimes. And this person was saying to me, if you want to garner more conversation and dialogue, restrain that a little bit, Pastor Neil. Restrain that tendency to just, you know, come out with your opinion brutally. None of us are going to talk if you're too much that way. And there's wisdom in that.
Yeah.
Discretion. It's not phony to be discreet and careful.
Yeah. It reminds me of a saying I heard years ago. It's better to remain quiet and be thought a fool than open your mouth and leave no doubt.
True.
I've always remembered that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes people use excuses. They say, well, you know, I'm this ethnic background. You can't expect me to be discreet and careful. It's not my nature. You know, people from my ethnic background, we routinely explode.
Yeah.
And there are several that claim that on their resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say to that, you know, that's dumb.
Yeah. You know, I was just reading, I thought of this earlier. I was just reading a day or two ago about that 70% of, I think it was 70, 72, around there, of resumes that people who review the resumes of job applicants are finding that, you know, 70,
whatever
percent. A lot of phoniness built in.
Lying about their abilities. Yeah. Lying, you know. So be careful when you do your resume. But, you know, being a...
Are you suggesting I should do my resume? Is that what... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, trying to operate a business, I have to sell myself.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the hardest thing for me to do, mm-hmm. because I have to say things about myself that, if it's not phony, boy, it sure the heck sounds like it could be.
Because you want the business.
I want the business. I want people to trust me and to believe that I can do the work. And I can do the work, and I do good work, but... To promote myself that way and pat myself on the back, that is just...
There was a movie that Dudley Moore made probably 25 years ago now called Crazy People.
I haven't seen that.
Dudley Moore was an advertising, high-level advertising executive, and he sort of had a breakdown, so he got put in a facility for people that had breakdowns. And it was a funny, funny movie. Daryl Hannah is in this facility, this beautiful young woman.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is sort of to maintain his own sanity, and he sort of realizes, I've got to stay in this loony bin for a while, a high-end, expensive place. He creates an advertising firm among the crazy people. And their thing, Bob, is blunt honesty. So they start, just for a hoot, creating these advertising, lines and posters. Volvo, they're boxy but good. Metamucil, this will keep you from getting cancer. And the funniest one was they were present, and then these things start selling. They trip accidentally on the fact that blunt honesty actually sells products.
Mm-hmm.
People like that. So Metamucil's being sold out across the country. Volvo's, the sales go through the roof. It's very funny, and these crazy yeah. people are really liking this. But the funniest one was they presented to Sony, these high-level executives, and they had a picture that said Sony, a television, and then a guy who was really thin, bony. They said, Sony, bony. I just thought that was funny. But it's a great film, a very funny film about crazy people, about
yeah.
phoniness,
yeah.
about how we sell that, and we're, you know, we have that built into our culture. In the area that you're talking about, marketing, you have to market mm-hmm. yourself. Hey, in church life, what do we want to present? You and I have done some business and done some ministry with the presentation of our church that we're both part of.
Mm.
What is it we want to communicate? Do we want to communicate that we're something more than what we are, or better than what we are?
We want to focus on the... I don't think we misrepresented anything at the church.
Hopefully not.
Okay. We accentuated the positive.
Now,
eliminate the negative.
We certainly didn't mention any negatives
no.
in the website material or the video material, did we?
Yeah. But our church has problems, as any other church has. Some
yeah.
have many, many more deeper problems.
So it's a bit of an art to present a church ministry in a way that isn't phony, but isn't stupid, too.
Yeah. To paraphrase Groucho Marx, I would never become a member of a church that would stoop to having me as a member.
So it's a funny thing. And I look at church websites as to how they depict themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's an interesting area of self-image.
Yeah, and what's dangerous with a church is when the phoniness goes to a level where that becomes your brand, where you're out there, with the ultra compassionate, ultra inclusive, ultra, you know, all this stuff just to suck people in and in the door, you know, and get their cash or whatever.
Build your numbers
or whatever.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
yeah, right. So That's an issue that I'm still thinking through, frankly. Yeah. What is it we want to be known as? My desire is that what we're known, and frankly, I'm not sure I care what we're known as among our fellow churches.
Yeah. So let's say you're not even advertising. Let's say you walk into Panera Bread, okay, and you see some guy and you start talking. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, what are you church? Oh, we're down here. Well, tell me about your church. I might like to come. You're not going to sit there and say, well, you know, we're having a problem with some of these people over here, and I get some people over here that they're thinking about getting divorced, and they just they're causing so much disruption in the church, and then and we have some good stuff happening too. You know, we get to, you know, the
probably not going to have that conversation,
yeah, right? Yeah. Because the guy's going to say,
I'm not going there.
Okay, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
But there's so much reason to go. Why do you want to,
disable that by confusing the decision with too much information?
No, you say, hey, you know, we're not the perfect church.
Yeah.
But we're
pretty authentic.
We're authentic. We're not phony. You're going to see some bad
stuff.
And
that's probably what I try to communicate to people. The simple thing, if we're going to be utterly honest, is just have an MS-DOS text-based website that says Dartmouth Bible Church. That's the name of the church that we're part of. And here's the bullet point things about us. And
hey, it's
a single page.
If you want to visit us, fine. If not, hey,
fine.
That's okay.
Here's a list of other churches, too. And that's a single page. And that's all it have to be. I mean, that, white screen with black letters, and that's it. What do you think?
I think so. I think we're good idea for a new video for the church.
Yeah,
you
so
get up there and say, "I'm the pastor of Dartmouth Bible Church. You're welcome to come here."
What?
And if you don't,
hey, Sony Boney,
Sony Boney,
Dartmouth Schmartmouth. I mean, it would be funny because then maybe all kinds of hundreds of people start coming. Yeah, hey, I like this. You know, this is stupid,
but it's authentic.
But it's authentic. Does Jesus make us unphony? Is that even a word? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
For our purposes.
You know what I'm saying.
Does Jesus make us unphony? I think he can make us unphony. And
does
I don't
he want
mean,
to make us unphony?
I think he does want to make us
okay.
unphony. Okay, but he also recognizes that we're sinners. Okay. And that we are still going to be phony. So I think it's what we said, that when in your relationship with other people, you're just honest. You know, hey, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now, how does that translate? And you can get away with that in the church. You can get away with that in witnessing, and probably that's the best thing to do when you're counseling somebody as a believer. I think in the Christian realm, that's the best way to approach this today. I am not any bit better than you. I'm just saved.
Right? Ministers, when they show up in movies, mm-hmm. is an interesting study to me. There was a TV show a number of years ago which was sort of trashed by Christians because it was edgy and dark, and it was called NYPD Blue.
Is that a musical? Is that the one that...
No, it was a TV series. Stephen Bochco, right. I think, did it. And I don't know if Stephen Bochco, I think Stephen Bochco did it. He did it on the heels of Hill Street Blues, which I know he also did. But NYPD Blue. Mm. But I remember one episode, because I watched some in that series, about a priest who, one of the main cops in the series, was a friend of this priest, and he went to this priest to try to get out of him some criminal information about a parishioner.
Mm.
And the priest really agonized over this because it was a terrible crime, and he knew the parishioner, and he could rat him out and tell the and he was tortured by his conscience and I thought that's one of the few good portrayals of a pastor that I've ever seen in the media. Usually they're portrayed as phony.
Mm.
On some level, the media just presents us as being, these are people, the ministers are not the types to really admire their phonies. They're hypocrites, they're looking out for your money. I mean, that's really the media. But that particular episode had a very real guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd go to that guy for counseling.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it. that particular priest, yeah. You know. But yeah. So would Jesus make us unphony? I think he does. I think he is trying to. Mm-hmm. You know, one could do an investigative, thorough Bible study of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and extract. It would be an interesting study to do. Extract all of the teachings that are against phoniness, where Jesus is either saying something about it or exemplifying or how to not be phony or confronting phonies, as in the case of the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders when he talks to them about, you know, you're trying to, you like to be out on the street corner, everybody see you, mm-hmm. you know, praying and fasting.
Yeah, and
stuff
there's,
like that.
There's another aspect. But first I want to say something. I asked them if that show was a musical. I remember a cop show that was a musical. I never watched it, but it's, for some reason that's sticking in my head. I think it flopped, but anyway, there's a nuance or an aspect of phoniness that we haven't really touched on, and that's the idea of supporting someone or pretending to support them, or to keep your options open. I'm keeping my options open. I'm talking to this guy and I'm saying one thing. I'm talking to this other guy and I'm saying another thing. And I just want to keep my options open because whoever ends up winning, I want to be, you know,
in with them
or riding on their coattails or get some benefit from that. And I think that's wrong too. I can understand it, especially in a business sense, you know. You know, there's some business aspect of things that I want to bring up too, but I think that is wrong in any situation. If you believe something firmly and strongly, you should just be out there and say it.
And take the hit.
And take the hit. You know, and at the very worst, you're going to lose if you're on the losing side. But you can lose and also be seen as a person with some standards. Well, you know, Bob Perrin took a stand there and, boy, he fell flat on his face. Well, no, he didn't fall flat on his face. That idea fell flat on his face, but he's still standing.
Yeah, and so this sort of rubs up against the whole current issue of flip-flopping politically.
Right.
People will make alliances with one thing or another, mm-hmm. and then they'll turn around and flip-flop on the issue because the alliances behind the scenes have become advantageous in another area.
Right.
Oh, I got to satisfy these people. You know, I don't think I would last 5 minutes mm-hmm. in political office because
no.
I just wouldn't have any ability to be that right. flexible. On stuff.
Flexible. That's an interesting word. I would say something else. Well,
what were you going to say about business? You said you had some ideas
about
business.
Yeah, because business is... I don't know. I just, you know, like I say, running a business, the hardest thing for me is to pat myself on the back. Let's say you have a guy who's a mechanic. Okay, you get a problem with your truck.
Mm-hmm.
The guy you usually go to is retired now. He doesn't want to fix trucks anymore. So you're looking for a new guy, and you go into this garage, and the guy is saying, "Yeah, I've worked on these types of trucks before, and you know, but you know, I want to be honest with you here. I've never gone to mechanic school. You know, I never, you know, I'm better with foreign cars than I am with American cars, and you know, and he's just honest with you.
Are you going to give him your business?
Yeah, you're going to give him. No, you're not. Probably you're going to say, "Well, I don't think I'll look around." But the guy needs to survive, and he can do the work.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Figure it out.
Yeah. So, you know, anybody who conducted business like that, they would fail.
Yeah, if they were overly honest.
Right.
Yeah. I think you make a good illustration of church life, too. Not to keep hammering back to that, but that's where I make my living. And I care about is it's counterproductive, it's contradictory, it's betraying the Lord Jesus by pretending to be something we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that no discretion is profitable. If you know something about me and you say, well, in order to be open and honest, I got to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, that's unkind. That violates something else. Mm-hmm. But at least if you know how the true me that I am, well, you're operating with accurate information now. You might say, I don't want to go to a church that's led by somebody that has this set of problems. Mm-hmm. I want to go over to that church over there where they don't have these problems, you know, because I found out how this church really is, and I'm disillusioned. Mm-hmm. Of course, as a church, we struggle with that all the time. You know, we just created a DVD for new people in our church. We're getting a lot. We had about 15 new people yesterday. It's amazing.
Wow. Who made that DVD?
Excuse me?
Who made that DVD?
Yeah, South Coast Multimedia, whoever that is. Oh, it's pretty cool.
That guy is such a phony. Don't go to see him.
No, he's slick. He's Mr. Slick. He knows how to smooth the message, you know. Slide it on in there, yeah. But, I mean, I think that's a wise way to go. Here we create this little device that you can use with people, and they can watch this information and say, well, that's what they – that's, you know, in advertising, sort of the backstory is you have a message created about a product or a mm-hmm. service, and then you're looking at that and you're going, what do they think about themselves such that they would put this out there? I think that's interesting to try to get into the psychology of the person themselves, how they're portraying themselves. We do this with appearance, Bob, mm-hmm. how we dress.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting. I'm interested in the subject of how people present themselves. I was at the coffee shop this morning, and I was with a couple of other guys, as I often am on Monday mornings, and this other really slick-looking dude walked in. And I just, before I even... You know, he had the nice sculptured hair cut and a nice tie and a jacket and very thin and fit and, you know, trimmed and all of that. Anyway, and he sort of carried himself with he looked like a professional guy. And I said to my friends, I said, you know what, we don't ever get people like that at our church. And they both looked at me like, what? What are you saying? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I just came out of my mouth before I even thought about it. But the presentation of the business guy, all crisp and put together.
Yeah. Business casual is now the business uniform.
Yeah, and that's true too, yeah. I guess. But this guy wasn't business casual. He was business period.
I am old enough to remember guys with the brimmed hats and the suits. Mm-hmm. You know,
show about that takes us back to? There's a TV show that now gone, but Mad Men? Is that what it was?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, yeah. So they went back to the 50s, and all the men dressed like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you know, I mean, normally I work down here in my basement studio, okay? And I'm usually wearing, you know, jeans and a T-shirt. And but when I go out to shoot or I'm meeting with people, I'm
differently dressed.
I'm differently dressed. Yeah. Pretty much like I am now. Yeah. Now, why am I dressed this way? I'm wearing my business casual outfit here. I got a shirt with my logo on it because I decided I need to dress like this now when I'm working down here because, first off, I never know when I'm going to have to jump up and go someplace.
Yeah.
So, and plus, it gives me a different attitude. But... You're right, but we become so casual and not phony in our appearance at church. And I'm guilty of this more than anybody. I mean, I come to church in jeans and, you know, usually a college shirt, not a T-shirt. But, yeah, there's in my youth, you never, ever, ever saw a guy go to church in jeans. And I'm talking my young
I understand. Years. Yeah, yeah. I when I go to church on vacation, I wear a tie. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny?
I hate ties.
It's just bizarre. It's bizarre. And the reason is to not do that, I'd be betraying something in my conscience. Yeah. And I would never impose that on anybody else. In fact, the church that I typically go to on vacation when I'm in Virginia, there's not a lot of ties there.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit overdressed probably. Yeah. but I'm doing it because I feel comfortable.
I hope that there is a special place in hell reserved for the guy who invented the necktie. I'm sorry.
That's funny. And yet I go looking for certain ties, you know. I like Stafford ties. Anyway, you know, the mechanism in the brain that works with our self-image and says, I want to present myself this way, I want to look this way, is a funny, complicated piece of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to something that I was trying to explore a little bit, I really do think that Jesus makes his children unphony.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes a whole lifetime to do it. Mm-hmm. And when you're in pain or you're suffering, it's much easier to be genuine,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's nothing at stake. I think about older people, and they're in their last months,
yeah.
or their last years, or their last days. And no longer is anything at stake with how they look, how they come across, and sometimes they're brutal, brutally honest with yeah. that.
Isn't it strange that in the life of a Christian, a young Christian has all the energy and the enthusiasm. And when you get older, that leaves, and I'm speaking in generalities here, when you get older, that enthusiasm, that tends to at least soften. But the wisdom comes.
Too.
Wouldn't it be great if that was just packaged together?
Yeah, yeah. You also want the Emerald City to exist too, Bob,
yeah.
because you know, we'd all like there to be this idealized combination of youth and energy and wisdom and discretion, and that's what we're trying to explore. And as you get older, yeah, your wisdom hopefully increases,
mm-hmm.
or your rigidity of your convictions smooths out a little bit, but also at the same time your energy depletes quicker.
Mm.
Now we said this in yesterday in the message. We quoted a verse in 2 Corinthians 4 where Paul says, you know, we're wasting away, and I sort of camped on that for a second, and people loved it. I thought, well, I could do a whole message just on that phrase, wasting away, that Paul says, but we're increasing internally through the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
Paul's saying to the Corinthians. And it's an odd paradox of life, is we're weakening in some ways and we're strengthening in others. But we should always be, I think, exploring genuineness,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's together in joint ministries or as an individual, at least if not open candidness all the time, candor, that's the word, isn't it? If not utter candor all the time, at least discretion,
mm-hmm.
so that maybe we're shielding ourselves a little bit, but we're not becoming phony. We're not presenting as something we are truly not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time I interviewed for a job at a church four times the size of what our church was at that time. And they said, can you lead us? And I said, absolutely. And most of the committee believed me. One did not. And he was brutal. He said, no, you can't. You don't know what it is to lead a church of this size. And my feelings were hurt, but he's probably right,
mm-hmm.
you know? And in advertising ourselves, we probably want to stay away from... the more honest thing to reply to that question would have been, I don't know, but let's see.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been an honest thing to say, you know? So, all right, Bob. I enjoy talking about this internal subject, and it's something we're working on, I hope, is getting rid of phoniness. Whatever phoniness is, we don't want it. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
That's not something we want to be accused of or we want to become good at. No, that's an undesirable thing for us, especially as Christians. So this has been Coffee Break, my podcast. I'm Neil Damgard with Bob Perrin from South Coast Multimedia. You can interact with us in several ways, Bob. Tell us what those are.
Well, you can call us up on the telephone. You, you can yell across the yard. String a can.
Two cans.
www.neildamgard.com is where you can find the podcast. You can find us on iTunes. I think there is even an Android app out there now that you can download from that website.
And by email.
And by email.
Yeah. So we're glad you joined us today.
Smoke signals.
What's that?
Smoke signals.
Smoke signals. Did you say smoke signals?
I did.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said. That was pretty phony of you.
And I'm admitting it. Yeah. So that's not phony.
Stop that. Thanks for joining us on Comcast. Excuse me.
Comcast.
Coffee break. Coffee break today. Where did that come from? I don't know. Come back and visit us again.